And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to do a film review, a movie review of the film The Sound of Freedom. The Sound of Freedom. I specifically went to see the film here a few days ago because I wanted to do a review of the film. It has gotten so much attention, and I think it is a very, very important issue that is being discussed in this film. It's one that we've indirectly touched on in our film, The Kinsey Syndrome. And that is the attempt to normalize sexual perversion through the Kinsey reports. That's kind of when it began back in the 1940s and 50s here in the United States of America. And I think part of what we're going to listen to the testimony of Tim Ballard, who is the special agent whose life story, his story as an operator rescuing these kids, his story is the story that's being told in the film The Sound of Freedom. And it's based on actual events and so on. But he gave a testimony to President Trump back when President Trump was still in the White House. And he had some very important things to say. And talked about the role, unfortunately, that America plays because of the open border situation, because they have abandoned checks and balances and proper regulation and so on. It is an open door for human traffickers. And when you see the film, there's a number of things that happen in the film, but one of the things is there is a little boy who's about 5 years old who was kidnapped at some point, and he's being trafficked, and they're able to track him, which you see in the film, but something that's very important to acknowledge that we're going to hear more about here in just a moment, very important to acknowledge the reason they are able to rescue this little boy is because he is brought in through the official port of entry from Mexico into the United States of America. He is not brought across the border at some border crossing where there's no checks and balances. He's being brought in a vehicle through the port of entry. That's what allows them to identify him and to rescue him. And when you watch the film, you see that the guy who's trafficking this dirtbag, who's trafficking this small child, is driving the vehicle, but he's going through the port of entry. That's how they're able to put a stop to this, which you're going to hear Tim Ballard speak about here shortly. But as it happens in the film, and you see that the agents are checking everybody's identification and so on, and because those checks and balances, just like when you go through an airport and so on, you have to show your photo ID, etc. Because of that, they were able to rescue this little boy. And that was a big difference. Then you have the story of a girl, which in the film is this boy's sister, and they're trying to find her. Well, because she was being trafficked by different people who took her way out into the jungle out in the middle of nowhere, there was no way anybody could find her or get to her. Thankfully, in the film, they do rescue her. I am assuming that was all based on actual events. But thankfully, she is rescued by the end of the film and restored to her family. But it is a very, very sad, it's a very powerful film, very well done. But you definitely have a sense of grief, and it's just a tragedy that this is going on. It's a tragedy that people are reporting that there are more slaves being trafficked in the world today than there were back in 1801 when William Wilberforce began his abolition movement. The reason why slavery is on the rise is undoubtedly because of the decline of Christianity in the West. That, I believe, is the number one reason why. It is because the Bible and the teaching that Christianity is the only true religion and the Christian standard as the standard for all the nations of the earth, for international law, which is the way our ancestors viewed Christianity. They didn't think that they were to stand down to Islam or Buddhism or Hinduism or anything like that. No, they believe God's law is the law. God's standard in the Bible is the standard for all the nations of the earth. And that includes things like kidnapping and enslaving other people. That's ultimately why slavery was overturned in the West and in many other parts of the world. And if we don't reclaim that understanding in the United States and in England and in Western Europe, if we don't reclaim the Christian heritage of our ancestors and demand that that be the foundation for common law as it has been for more than 1,000 years, if we don't demand that, nobody's really going to have any instruments or any weapons politically to put a stop to what's happening. That's what I believe. Especially now that you have people telling us that Islam is just the same as Christianity. That's what they're saying. Well, Islam has no problem with slavery. They have no problem with kidnapping, enslaving, and trafficking people. They've been doing it for 1,400 years. And now that the West is preoccupied with trying to pander to Islamists and to empower them and to make sure that they can get elected to political offices and things like this, does anybody really believe that Muslims in the West are going to care about putting a stop to human trafficking? I think if you really believe that they will, I would say you are delusional. No, they're not going to care one bit about that because they know that their religion has practiced slavery for 1,400 years. All right, but let's get back to the film. Let's talk about The Sound of Freedom. Now, spoiler alert, I'm gonna tell you, if you haven't seen the film, many of you have probably seen it, but if you've not seen the film, the title is taken from a scene in the film where the main character, played by Jim Caviezel, and another guy that he's working with, they rescue about 50 or so children from these traffickers, and the traffickers are arrested and taken away, and then the kids are all sitting around, and they begin to sing. And they're singing this song, and it's obvious that they're happy and joyful because they realize they've been rescued. And one of the characters says, "You hear that sound? That's the sound of freedom." And so that's where the title comes from. The children singing because they are thankful that they've been set free. We have to remember, as Christians, as believers in Christ, Christ came to set the captives free. Praise the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And there's a great scene where Jim Caviezel's character, who's really Tim Ballard, but his character is talking to a guy who's involved in trafficking. And at one point he quotes the scripture, how Jesus said, "It is better for a man if a millstone were tied round his neck and he were cast into the depth of the sea than to cause one of these little ones to stumble." And of course, you know, I thought that was a powerful scene. I thought it was great that they included that scripture there, because that's really what should motivate all Americans and certainly all God-fearing Christians in our country to do whatever we can to take a stand against this evil and wicked practice, because that's exactly what it is. It is an evil, wicked practice. All right, but here's what I want to do. I want to play Not a scene from the film, actually. I'm going to play some audio. This is of Tim Ballard, the real Tim Ballard, the person who the film is actually based upon. Jim Caviezel plays Tim Ballard in the film, and him talking to President Trump and having a meeting at the White House where they're talking about human trafficking And the fact that the wall, having the wall, because there are certain parts of the border that have the wall there, that have checks and balances, that that makes it easier for the agents to be able to rescue these children. When the wall's not there, it's much easier for the traffickers to go back and forth. But Tim Ballard describes what is actually going on. He describes his own experiences, but I'm just going to let him talk, and then we'll come back and I'll offer some commentary on this. But here it is. Listen.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. Thank you very much. I spent 12 years as a special agent, as an undercover operator, working on the southern border, working sex trafficking cases. And I can tell you, you're exactly right. One little girl I can tell you about, in fact, I introduced this little girl to Ms. Trump during a private briefing. This little girl was kidnapped in Central America, 11 years old, groomed for 2 years, with the intent of getting her ready to come to America. Why? Because we are the highest consuming nation of child pornography. We are the clientele that's the big money. They brought this little girl through a part of the southern border where there was no wall, easily got her to New York City, and this is hard to hear, but this is the truth, and everyone needs to hear this. This little girl, and this is very typical, for money every day, 30 to 40 times a day. If that's not a crisis, if that's not an emergency, I don't know what is. Now, let me say this. Had there been a wall, had there been a barrier, this little girl likely would have been saved because the traffickers would have been forced to take this child through the port of entry where we have amazing law enforcement. I've worked with these people. These are the best people on the planet. They can detect. They have equipment. They have trained agents. In contrast, while this was happening, I was working another case. A little boy, a Mexican boy who was kidnapped by an American trafficker, by a child pornographer. He kidnapped Mexican children, brought them to San Bernardino County, where he had a makeshift studio, made child porn with these little children, 5 years old. This little boy was kidnapped in Mexicali, Mexico, where there was a wall, where there is a barrier, and so he was forced to take this little boy through the Calexico port of entry, and guess what? It worked. We captured him. We rescued the little boy, and subsequently rescued 12 other children in San Bernardino, California. The difference between those two cases is 2 + 2 = 4. The wall was the difference. The wall rescued this little boy, and the lack of a wall caused this little girl to go through a hell that is indescribable, that is not manufactured. It is a real crisis. It is a real emergency.
And you have many thousands of people like this.
Thousands. This is happening all the time. We work in Mexico. We have done several operations. I've just met with the Secretary of State, their equivalent, Olga Sanchez, just last month about this. We are having to do operations in Mexico, our foundation, working with law enforcement, to be essentially become the wall, because there is no wall. We're forward deployed. It's like trying to catch flies with chopsticks. It works. We can make it work. But if we had a big, you know, fly swatter, which is the wall, that'd be a lot better. It stops it.
Okay, so again, that was Tim Ballard talking to President Trump about this whole situation on the southern border. And, you know, what is disturbing, one of the most disturbing things that he says in his presentation there is that the United States is the number one consumer of child pornography. That is an absolute disgrace. It is very, very disturbing to think that these traffickers who are producing this horrible material are targeting people in our country, because this is where the money is. This is where people are willing to pay for stuff like that, unfortunately. But why? Why has this happened? Why has our country become so corrupted? It's become corrupted because the American Balaam, in my opinion, was Alfred Kinsey. And this is the, now we're talking from the 1940s and 50s right up to the present day, the last 70 odd years or so, the systematic perversion of our population through widespread pornography, teaching sex education, and really grooming. That's really, once you study Kinsey and how the sex education programs began in our public schools and then colleges and universities and so on, the field of what they call sexology, how all of that developed, it's really a grooming process to begin to brainwash people from a very early age towards sexual perversion. That's what it has been. And we warn about this. In fact, we show within the, you know, the Kinsey reports are published. And then as an immediate result of that, you have Hugh Hefner publishing Playboy magazine. And we show, and I can't remember the exact statistic, but it's within 10 years of the publication of Playboy magazine. And then there are other what they call soft porn, so-called soft porn magazines, Penthouse and then Hustler follow. But within a decade after Playboy was published, you had a dramatic rise in sexual assault crimes in the country. It was dramatic. So that the FBI did a report on it. There was a Reader's Digest article on it. And they said something has been entered into our society that was not there before. Something has changed. And it was the Kinsey reports, widespread pornography, and then all of that lays the foundation for sex, drugs, rock and roll, and the perversion just advances from there. And now with the internet, you have widespread pornography worse than ever before in history. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable with the internet. Now, not just with a computer, but anybody with their phone can access this stuff. I mean, it's horrific. It's an absolute nightmare to think about what's going on. If our government wants to recover our country, they need to ban pornography entirely. Really, seriously, pornography should be banned. It was never permitted by our ancestors. The people who founded this country, was illegal to send pornography through the mail in our country until after World War II. That's when they changed it. So this has been a steady progression of corruption. But that's why now we have somebody like Tim Ballard showing what the fallout has been. That now America is targeted as the place where people want to sell their perversions. It's a nightmare. So I highly recommend watching this film. We're going to talk more about the particulars of the film on the other side of the break, but I wanted to begin by listening to his testimony because I think it's so powerful and it's so important, and to show that, yes, there is a very real side to this film. This is a very important film that has been made. And I want to talk about the film, and I want to talk about the reaction to the film, and who's promoting it and who's trying to hinder it. Very interesting. But we're going to talk more about all of that when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents a stunning new documentary, The True Christian History of America, exploring the Bible-based Christian origins of the early American view of freedom, tracing the principles of liberty back to England and the Great Reformation. For many years, our schools have taught that the founding of our republic was from the deists, or the Enlightenment in France. But is that truly the case? Did the Enlightenment first declare no taxation without representation or trial by jury? Were they the champions of freedom of speech or of the press or the right to bear arms? And why did Samuel Adams declare that the reign of political Protestantism would commence just before signing the Declaration of Independence? Filmed on location in both the United States and Europe, The True Christian History of America is now available at adullamfilms.com. That's adullamfilms.com. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part three in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are doing a review of the movie Sound of Freedom. I have to tell you, the film, even though it's about a very important topic culturally, politically, in terms of it being based on actual events, very, very important, but it's also a very well-made film. I have to say that. That, you know, the acting, the writing, the directing, the cinematography, all that stuff is very, very good. If Hollywood had the right character about it, if this were, you know, if Hollywood were what it used to be back in the 1980s and 90s, I think, then probably the little boy who plays the young Mexican boy who's trafficked toward the beginning would probably be nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. He'd probably be in the running. And who knows, maybe he will be. He should be. He did a really excellent job in terms of his performance. All the actors were good, it was that whole storyline was just heartbreaking, really heartbreaking. And let me say this as well. While it's heartbreaking, the filmmakers are very careful not to show you something that's going to make you feel like you can't watch the film, if that makes any sense. They're very, very careful about it. So they are careful that the film is suggestive, but not offensive, if that makes sense. Not offensive, but they're communicating, okay, here's what these guys are up to. And it is very disturbing that this goes on. It's also very disturbing that there are so many thousands and probably hundreds of thousands, probably millions of children and people around the world who are enslaved and who are trafficked right now. It's really horrific to think about what's going on. And the situation gets even worse because there's this whole other dimension of it that I think most of us don't know about. I've heard about it. I don't usually talk about it. I've never gone into it in any of my films. And in the film, The Sound of Freedom, they don't really talk about this in the film. And that's the whole issue of organ harvesting. Organ harvesting. But organ harvesting, and this gets into the abortion industry, this gets into a documentary I saw many years ago. I'll never forget sitting with my wife, Meg, and we watched this old Jeremiah Films documentary called Baby Parts for Sale. And it talked about how when Bill Clinton was elected, within hours of him being elected as president, he signed partial birth abortion into law. And partial birth abortion allows them to abort children right up to the ninth month. And the reason for it was because in R&D, in the medical industry, research and development, they wanted baby parts, larger parts of infants, unborn heart or partly born infants, and they were willing to pay a lot of money. Well, this has gone on for many years, and I'm going to play part of an interview here with Jim Caviezel talking about this with Steve Bannon on The War Room. And I want you to listen to what Caviezel says when he's talking to Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon is trying to pin him down and asking him, because Caviezel actually worked with not just Tim Ballard, who is a real life agent with Department of Homeland Security, or he was. Now he's got his own organization where he's continuing the work. But these guys are involved with police and Navy SEALs and special forces operators, and you know, those kind of people are part of the network that tries to oppose this human trafficking that goes on. But Steve Bannon is asking him who could be behind the organization of the trafficking, because what they do apparently, and you're going to hear Jim Caviezel talk about this, they will traffic these kids for a number of years, and then once they reach a point where their usefulness is over, apparently they kill them and then harvest their organs and sell their organs. I mean, it's beyond horrific. It's just more horrible than we can imagine. But I want you to hear this now, because this is something that Jim Caviezel says was shared with him by the people that he worked with on this film, the real guys who are actually in the field dealing with these issues on a daily basis. But here, let's play part of what Jim Caviezel says. And when Steve Bannon pins him down and he says, "How do you think it can be this organized?" his response is to reference the three-letter agencies. That's what he says. And many people online are taking from that that it must be the CIA or the FBI or some other three-letter agency in Washington. That's the idea. But I want you to hear him say it. Here it is. Listen.
How come 110,000 people died or disappeared in Mexico City? Where did they go? And they're starting pulling people out of body bags now. You know, this is just insane. With our military, our special forces, and we don't take care of this. Like I said to you earlier, you know, Tim has got, for one traffic guy like Tim Ballard, you've got five guys that go after the cartel. They're just completely outnumbered.
On drugs.
Correct. Yes, on the drugs.
And we know now the human trafficking.
I think it's far bigger than that now. Well, I mean, we were talking about 2 million children. And he goes, yeah.
Monetize these kids every
year. That's correct. And then he started going into 2 million other children. Now, this is other agents that I'm speaking to, too. And then the 2 other million are in the organ harvesting. And it's just like 2 million this year, 2 million. Okay. And they just use them up. And then they pass them off into organ harvesting programs.
Talk to me about we'll get to that in a second. Talk to me about the demand. It's so organized on the trafficking of these children.
Yeah.
And for either sex or and eventually organ harvesting. You can't just have that demand unless somehow that's organized also.
100%. I believe, okay, so the agents that I've spoken to, all right, here's for a barrel of oil, $77. For a barrel of body parts and what's going to be adrenochrome, all the plumes that are in the woman's mother's wombs, that goes from a plastic barrel. That's $77,000. Now that gets sent into these bio labs.
Barrel oil,
$77. $77,000 for a barrel of body parts of children, blood, all of that goes to these bio labs. And then now go to Victoria Nuland's testimony.
The bio labs, you're talking about the bio labs in Ukraine.
Correct.
What? How?
And other wherever else those places are. So yes.
Okay, so let me pause there briefly, just to clarify for those who may not know, Jim Caviezel's reference to Victoria Nuland. That's Victoria Nuland, who is serving as the Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs. And her testimony about these labs, bio labs in Ukraine. Let me just play you a short sound bite. This is when she's before the Senate, and Marco Rubio at one point asks her a question. Listen briefly.
Does Ukraine have chemical or biological weapons?
Ukraine has biological research facilities, which, in fact, we are now quite concerned Russian troops, Russian forces may be seeking to gain control of.
Okay, so that is apparently what Jim Caviezel is referring to, and he is strongly suggesting that somehow the human trafficking, the organ harvesting, and these biolabs in the Ukraine are somehow all interconnected. But I'm going to let him continue with Steve Bannon. Listen.
Walk through the supply chain of the supply into the biolabs. What do they take?
As far as the, I can't give you the molecular structure. No, I can give you
the, what's this, the input of the body parts?
Everything, all the waste, all the body waste, all of that.
Who's organizing that?
I would have to say definitely that it has to be in the three-letter agencies.
So you are, your contention and what you want, you're in.
I'm saying this. You say there's smoke, there's fire. Okay, so if I say to a media person, 2 + 1 = 5, and I say 3, and the media will immediately say, how do you know? Did you see a 3? That's what it's like. If you go to Vegas and you win 1,000 hands in a row in blackjack, do you think there's cheating going on?
At the level of $152 billion a year.
Yes.
This has to be making money for a lot of people, and that cash has to be flowing through. Your contention is it is impossible to have demand at that side and have some.
That's correct.
And not have some sort of organ.
Yes.
This can't be a random.
No. But
gangs in Mexico.
But the whole thing, just the thing with Ms. Rodas, she comes out and makes this testimony, this claim. She said that 85,000 children have disappeared. And she's a whistleblower.
85,000 of the kids were coming across.
That's correct. This last year.
And you would think that they would be pretty good.
The next day,
they didn't track anybody in.
Right? Steve, the next day, the media didn't even pick it up. It's not even worthless. It's worthless to him. That's worthless information.
Okay. Now, the 85,000 children missing, these are migrant children that were delivered to HHS, Health and Human Services, and that they have gone missing. And the Rodas is Tara Lee Rodas, an HHS whistleblower. Now, this, you can find this on foxnews.com. It says, Tara Lee Rodas, an HHS whistleblower, said the government is delivering some migrant children to a sophisticated network of human traffickers. There is a quote from her. She says, quote, I thought I was going to help place children in loving homes, Rodas said. Instead, I discovered that children are being trafficked through a sophisticated network that begins with recruiting in their home country, smuggled to the U.S. border, and ends when Office of Refugee Settlement delivers a child to a sponsor. Some sponsors are criminals and traffickers and members of transnational criminal organizations. You go look up this story. There's a number of headlines. I'll just read a couple. Over 85,000 immigrant children missing under U.S. watch. Senator Hawley demands probe into 85,000 missing unaccompanied alien children. Another outlet called Straight Arrow News says, quote, U.S. government is middleman giving migrant children to traffickers. I mean, this is just devastating. Absolutely horrific. Now, one of the things that we're going to show you in our new film is that the people who run the deep state in Washington, D.C., the CIA and the FBI and that whole deep state network are primarily trained through Georgetown University. Georgetown University and the Edmund A. Walsh School of Foreign Service is where many of these operators are trained. Now, bear in mind, when you think about this, this is where Georgetown University is where they're training the spies and the undercover guys, the covert operators for the next generation. And at Georgetown, as we've talked about recently, they just built a mosque They have their bridge initiative trying to convince everybody that Islamophobia is the big danger where Islam is concerned. Not that Islam itself is a danger. No, Islamophobia is the danger, according to Georgetown. They also have at Georgetown, as we've talked about, the Muslim professor, Jonathan Brown, who openly teaches that slavery and rape are perfectly acceptable because they were practiced by the Prophet Muhammad. That is what they teach. Now ask yourself the question, if they are openly teaching that slavery and rape are acceptable because the Prophet Muhammad supported these things, the religion of Islam supports these things, Georgetown University apparently, what can you conclude when they have a professor there who's teaching this kind of thing? So are the people then who are exposed to all of this influence at Georgetown, and they become the members of the CIA and the FBI, et cetera, are they really going to stand up and put a stop to human trafficking? Are they really going to be the champions that rise to the occasion and put an end to this horrible injustice? Well, how could they if they're being conditioned to think that slavery is not really an injustice? That's the part of this that becomes very, very disturbing. Very disturbing. And it's probably the number one reason why the influence of Islam in the Western world and the ecumenical movement are so dangerous. And I would say to Jim Caviezel and Steve Bannon both, because they're both Catholic, they need to confront, as Catholics, they should confront the Jesuits at Georgetown. And they should compel, they should expose them, they should confront them. They should also confront the Vatican for promoting Islam, knowing that the Muslims have hundreds of thousands or millions of slaves across Africa and the Middle East. It's the trafficking goes on because of the mentality of the people who are behind it. And if you've got this mentality that Islam is this wonderful religion and it was founded by a slave owner named Muhammad, why would you be opposed to slavery? You see, that's the problem. It's why it is so important that we reclaim and recover the understanding that our ancestors had, that Christianity is the only true religion. Christianity is the religion of freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And no, you know, as Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. You will love the one and you will hate the other. You can't go around saying that Jesus is Lord, and also Muhammad. That doesn't work. Muhammad denied the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. So God's not going to give his glory to some pagan god, some false god, some other god. There's only one true God. Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. John 17:3, praise the Lord. Knowing the Lord, knowing God and the Lord Jesus Christ, that is eternal life, according to the Bible, according to Holy Scripture. And it's not a coincidence that it was our Christian ancestors who drove the abolition movement and who were willing to fight and die for it. That's not an accident. The pagan religions of the world generally don't have a problem with slavery. They practiced it for many centuries, had no problem with it. It's only once you had Bible-based Christianity, studying the scriptures, recognizing that, and let's remember something, according to God's law, if you kidnap somebody and enslave them, you are to be put to death. That is a capital crime. In fact, that is Exodus 21 and verse 16. Exodus 21:16. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. Then, of course, you've got another reference in 1 Timothy 1:10, where it mentions, it talks about how the law is made for the wicked. The law is not made for a righteous man. The law is to punish the wicked. It's to punish men stealers, to punish men stealers. And virtually all the commentaries on that verse, especially if you look at Matthew Poole and John Gill, but many others as well, all agree that men stealers is a reference to slave traders, slavers. And that's why it's so important to acknowledge that this practice that's going on our southern border is ungodly, it's evil, it's wicked, what they are allowing to be taught at Georgetown University, which should be shut down. I mean, there should be an outcry against the fact that they've got this Muslim professor there who's teaching that slavery is acceptable. There should be an outcry, but instead they're advancing that whole agenda. They're advancing Islam at Georgetown. And it's almost like everybody's just looking the other way and pretending this isn't happening while it's happening. It's very disturbing, the condition that our country is in right now, because those things that are happening in a covert manner are not happening for no reason, because the groups that are behind them, the Jesuits and the deep state and so on, they're not teaching these things and conditioning people with these ideas for nothing. They ultimately have an end goal in mind. It's why I keep going back to remind people that this concept that all men have a God-given right to be free, as far as being taught at an international level, this is a new idea historically. It's about a 150-year-old idea. You might extend that out and say it's maybe a 200-year-old idea if you go back to William Wilberforce and the abolition movement in England, which, of course, influenced America. But 150, 200 years. Prior to that, all the countries of the earth and the cultures and the belief systems practiced slavery in one way or another. And now all of this propaganda against white people, like white people invented slavery, no, they know it's quite the other way around. That Western European Anglo-Saxons with Bibles and guns are the ones who abolished slavery. And it's very strange that the people who abolished slavery are now the ones who are being blamed for it. And who's blaming them? Well, if you study the groups involved, all the groups that are shouting all the anti-white sloganeering are typically the people who practiced slavery 150 years ago. Those are those people. And it's interesting that those same groups of people today, just study what's going on with the film, The Sound of Freedom. There has been a very strange, you would have thought that everybody would be unified on a film like this and everybody would agree that, yes, the trafficking of these kids is horrible and we all need to stand up and do something against it. But strangely, those on the left have made it a partisan issue where they're not in favor of the film. Somehow. It's very, very disturbing. But why? Well, of course, well, the Democrats were the party of slavery. They are partnered with the Muslims. The Muslims have practiced slavery for 1,400 years. And they are partnered with the Jesuits. And the Jesuits were big-time slave owners. And, of course, the Vatican is a left-wing organization at this point, clearly. And the Vatican was the one power that officially recognized the Southern Confederacy. So they were pro-slavery during the American Civil War. So as I've said before, all of the groups that practiced slavery together 150 years ago, they have the same alliances today. And if you don't understand that, in my opinion, you cannot really understand what's going on in the deep state in Washington, D.C. You can't understand that at all. But yes, the people who run the deep state in Washington, D.C. are the descendants of the same groups that practiced slavery 150 years ago. And that's not so much against the Confederacy as it is against the Democratic Party. And that's one of the things that the Democrats have done. They have shifted the focus away from themselves and their politics because it was their political policies that instigated the war. It wasn't really the Confederacy. The Confederates are just the soldiers. I mean, when you look at the Vietnam War, do you blame the soldiers in Vietnam, or do you blame the politicians? You blame the politicians, of course. And so it was with the American Civil War. If you study the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln was fighting against Democrat politicians. That's who he was fighting against. And that's what ultimately caused the conflict. Personally, I think it's the reason why. Now, this is my limited observation. What happened was after the war, you had the Democrats, they shifted their focus into the North because that's where the power was politically. And then you have Tammany Hall, and we're going to be showing you in this film, Tammany Hall was said to be a Jesuit outlet. It was the Democratic Party, but known as the Party of the Jesuits. Okay? All of these groups that worked together back then, they are still in an alliance today. And so unless that whole element is confronted, unless people like Jim Caviezel and those who have a voice out there to do something, confront these groups. And I'm glad Jim Caviezel is doing what he's doing. I'm glad Steve Bannon is doing what he's doing. I'm glad people are speaking out about this. Yes, Jim Caviezel is Catholic, and he's very, very Catholic. I mean, if you watch some of his interviews, he's talking about Our Lady of Guadalupe and this kind of thing. Those are theological issues where we would not be in agreement with him on things like that. We would agree about the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, according to the Bible. We believe in a biblical view of Christ. But at the same time, we have to think about things, I think, as Protestant evangelicals. We have to think about the Lord's story of the Good Samaritan and how you have the Pharisee and the Levite and so on, who supposedly had the right doctrines, but they walk past the man who was victimized by the bandits. Okay, they walk past him. They're too busy. They can't be bothered with that. Meanwhile, it's the Samaritan who had really a corrupted religion. It had been corrupted since the days of Jeroboam, where Jeroboam set up the alternative temple with the golden calves and blended Judaism with paganism. And he had a corrupted theology, but he knew enough to stop and reach out and help the man on the side of the road. And I think we've got to consider things like that, because what the Apostle Paul tells us is the end of the law is love. In other words, the conclusion, the purpose of God's law is love. And how can we claim that, you know, it doesn't matter what all of our theology is, if it doesn't lead us to that conclusion to walk in the love of God and of Christ? And I'm not saying compromise the truth, because I don't believe we should. And I'm not saying theology doesn't matter. It does matter. But we have to consider the whole counsel of God. That's part of our theological worldview, is to consider the teaching of Christ in this regard. Consider the fact that he reached out to the Samaritan woman at the well. He said to her, "Woman, you worship you know not what." Yeah, she had a confused theology if she was a Samaritan. But he still revealed himself to her as the Messiah, as the Christ. And she had that hope in her heart. She says, I have heard that one day the Messiah will come who is called Christ, and he will show us all things. And Jesus says, I that speak to thee am he. Praise the Lord. So ultimately, we come back to the simple gospel. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I believe all those who fear God, and really all Americans, because our whole country from the beginning has been about the cause of freedom, liberty, and against the practice of slavery. The whole idea of being enslaved has been something that Americans have opposed from the beginning, in one way or another. However imperfectly our ancestors defended liberty, nevertheless, they defended liberty. So I think we should listen to people like Tim Ballard, who's been down there on the border. I have at least one friend who is a former federal police officer who worked down there on the border, and I've heard stories from him. The situation is horrific. It's a nightmare. All right, now I want to follow up on an issue I talked about on our last program and that I've talked about on earlier programs, the issue of protection and obedience. And Romans 13, what does Romans 13 say? Well, Romans 13 says that, and again, we reject the slavish interpretation of Romans 13. That is a false interpretation, provably false by the whole counsel of God. The rest of the Bible completely disagrees with the idea that Romans 13 is saying that Christians are slaves to the government and they have to do whatever the government says. Even the Apostle Paul did not believe that. If he had believed that, he never would have escaped the city of Damascus down the wall in a basket when he knew that the governor was trying to have him arrested. If Paul believed Romans 13 the way the slavish interpreters do, then he would have gone and turned himself in. He would have seen that as his duty to turn himself in and be a good citizen and not resist the government, etc. But he knew that what the governor was trying to do was unjust. And clearly the Apostle Paul did not believe that he had to obey under those circumstances, because ultimately, as the apostles declared, we ought to obey God rather than men. All right, now I want to play some audio from State of Texas Representative Chip Roy, who, this is him being interviewed by Fox News, and he is saying words to the effect that he does not believe the Department of Homeland Security should receive another federal dime without significant change at the southern border. Now, here's why I agree with what he's saying, because if you read Romans 13 correctly, Romans 13 says about the powers of the state, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. It goes on to say, a revenger to execute wrath against those who practice evil. And then it says, for this cause, pay ye tribute also. In other words, pay your taxes, for he is God's minister attending on this very thing. So in other words, because the powers of government are attending on the business of protecting that which is good and punishing that which is evil, therefore, that's why we pay taxes to them, because they are operating in that regard as God's minister. But what if they're not doing that? What if they refuse to protect the people? What happens then? Well, Representative Chip Roy, he says, and we're going to play some video here. He's pretty charged up on the issue, because they're now showing a video of these cartel guys coming with rifles across the border under surveillance footage and things like that. And there's no question. Obviously, this is endangering our country. But let's listen to what Representative Chip Roy had to say. Here it is.
But these cartels are emboldened and they are empowered by a president who does not care about our southern border. He is allowing it to become completely run by the cartels. And if anybody has not seen The Sound of Freedom, go see it. Go see what's happening in the world. Go see who has the power. Go see who is you know, abusing these young girls, these young children. We're allowing that to happen on our watch. No more. That's my message. Governor Abbott is being sued by the Department of Homeland Security and by this administration because he dares to try to stop the flow at our border, to stop the death, the fentanyl, stop the poisonings, to stop armed intruders. We have a job to do. Congress, is my message to all my Republican colleagues, we are not going to fund a government that's at war with the people of Texas. We are not going to fund a government that's perpetuating the lawlessness, empowering cartels, allowing fentanyl to kill Americans, and allow little girls to get raped in stash houses in Texas. Enough. This is our fight. And I'm tired of Republicans who are giving lip service to it and for years have been supporting it because they want cheap labor. We need to recontrol our border. Even Robert F. Kennedy Jr. gets it, Stuart.
Yeah.
We have an obligation to have a secure border.
Okay, now I hope everybody understands what I'm saying here and what Representative Chip Roy is saying. What I'm not saying when I talk about funding the federal government or Department of Homeland Security. Obviously, we as individuals, I don't agree with the individual tax protester movement. Why? Because even if you are technically and legally correct, they're still going to arrest you and throw you in jail for 10 years and it's not worth it. So don't do it. The way that we protest is through the principle of Magna Carta, no taxation without representation. That's why having a representative like Chip Roy in Congress to protest on our behalf, that's why we have this whole process. So that's what he's talking about. He's talking about protesting in Congress and saying to his fellow members of Congress, hey, we're not going to finance Department of Homeland Security. We're not going to finance these guys as long as they are working against us and working against our national security and helping to enable these crimes that are happening at the southern border. This is where the doctrine of the lesser magistrate comes in. We talk about this in our film, The True Christian History of America, when we interview Pastor Matt Truella. He wrote the book on this, but he gives also a great testimony in our documentary. But this is where lesser magistrates, they intervene. That's why they're there. They intervene on behalf of the people and on behalf of a just cause. So praise the Lord, we've still got people who are willing to stand up and to speak out and to try and take action. And as I've said many times before, we need to be seeking God. We need to be seeking the will of God for what we as citizens and mainly as God-fearing Christians in our country today, because our country's in a very particular time. It has never been like this. I mean, it was not like this back in the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s. We did not take this dark turn into a socialist banana republic type character. That didn't happen until after the Obama administration. Began with the Obama administration. It has continued right up to this day. We have been pushed more and more in the direction of a Marxist form of government, with all the calamities that go with it. So we hope and pray that the Lord will open a door for those of us who are sincere, those of us who are God-fearing Christian people, and all those who seek God's righteousness upon the earth. May a door be opened that will enable us to take action according to the will of God and set things right in our country again. We hope and we pray and we ask in Jesus' name. All right, brothers and sisters, that's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We will stop it there, but we'll be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.